Good morning, Friedman.
Good morning, Sir Mulberg.
I will start with, I won't call it breaking news, but it is news of the morning. The Boston Bruins have got some business taken care of. We talked about when they traded Johnny Boychuk, it was because they were going to have to get some of their younger up-and-coming players signed, and they did that this morning with Torrey Krug and Riley Smith.
I believe they knew exactly what these deals that were going to be once those guys were signed. It was simply a matter of when they were going to do it, but they were done. Those two guys were unsigned at the beginning of training camp this year. They missed a little bit, but they got done, and I think there was always a handshake kind of deal as to what the next ones would look like. So these numbers are certainly not a surprise to the Bruins or anybody involved.
Torrey Krug, 1 year, $3.4 million. Riley Smith, a two-year deal. The hit is $3.425. I'm curious on Krug, because is this not back-to-back one-year deals now?
Yes, but I think part of the problem is the Bruins, with all their cap issues, aren't exactly 100% certain on everything they could do. So they're just kind of going piece by piece.
Yeah. I guess I just wonder from the side of Torrey Krug, a young guy, do you want to be doing one-year deals? I guess, hey, it's, maybe the power is out of his hands a little bit, but maybe another year closer to unrestricted free agency, I suppose.
Right, but you know, the Bruins know what that clock is. They still got time. They can worry about it then. At least right now, they've got some certainty in. They know about this for at least next year, and you know, it's the business is done. You know, the good general managers think, you know, one or two steps ahead. This was an easy one to figure out, at least in terms of that. And even though all the Bruins fans are down on him right now, Peter Shirelli's done a lot of smart stuff. And it's not a surprise he was on top of this.
Flames win last night. They are now two points back of the Vancouver Canucks. I'm curious, obviously, we're hypersensitive towards Mark Giordano and the injury here. In Vancouver, they're without Ryan Miller, they're without Edler, Bieksa, and others. I'm just curious what your thoughts are in the Vancouver Canucks down the stretch with, 18 games to go?
Can't lose that one that they lost last night.
Yeah.
Cannot do that. You know, they slept walk through Arizona. They should have lost in regulation. They're lucky they even got a point. They've got three games left against the Kings. You know, they're kind of held together by duct tape and popsicle sticks, everything else there. They've got a bunch of injuries on the blue line. Lack has been really good. I just think that they have a really interesting soap opera there with Cassian. They had the beginning of the overtime there last night, Dean, was so weird. They gave the puck into two breakaways. They were just generally terrible, and Lack held them in the game. And, you know, I'm sitting there watching and saying, my goodness, like, you guys do realize that you're in a battle for the playoffs, right? And they, you know, they got 1 point, but they're going to regret not getting two. And that's the kind of game that you cannot afford to blow at this point in the season when you're doing what you're doing.
It's funny, you look back at that deal, Hodgson for Cassian, and I think both teams had really high hopes for the guys they've got, and yet both have been immensely disappointed at times this year.
I was actually talking about that with one agent this morning, about the exact same thing, about how, you know, they would tell people, you know, life is just dead here, we need a new stadium, we're going to dump it, we'll get in there, and you know, everything will kind of be okay. And geez, I'm really surprised by the way you compete at that particular time in that particular game of the year, Ryan. It's you can't get away with that.
This is very hypothetical, and I don't want to get too caught up in it, but we've watched Sean Monahan here for the last couple of years, 22 goals last year, notched his 23rd last night. And someone had texted in yesterday when Warner and I were doing this one segment, would you trade Sean Monahan for Nathan MacKinnon? And I don't know if I would say expanded, I guess. You look at the top of that 2013 draft, MacKinnon went one, Barkov went at two, Drouin at three, Seth Jones, then Elias Lindholm, then Sean Monahan.
Yep.
I don't know who you trade straight up for in there, but the Flames certainly incredible value for six. Would you entertain a MacKinnon for Monahan swap?
Well, I think you'd always listen. Like, you know, Dina, here's your question, okay? How much more is McKinnon going to score than Monahan?
You would think considerably more, right?
Yeah, the potential is there for that. Okay, now this is what I always say. Like, you know better than anybody else what Sean Monahan is, right?
Yeah.
You know what he's going to bring you, and you value that. Like I remember last year when, I don't know if I've told this story on your air before, when Monahan came in a bit low in the Calder Cup voting, you know, I talked to a couple teams who said, you know, you do realize that this guy just scored 25 goals as an 18-year-old, right? You know, how hard is it to do that in this league? And they thought that he deserved a lot more credit for the kind of season he had last year than he got. And that says a lot to me that, you know, other teams kind of look at this and say, this is a really good player. Now, with McKinnon's going to be a big goal scorer, going to be a big point getter, and he probably, I agree with you, is going to outscore Monahan over his career. But you look at, you've got one team that's now overachieving, and Colorado overachieved last year, and McKinnon was a part of that. But was he as much of Colorado last year as Monahan has been big for Calgary this year? I don't know. Like, no. You guys see him every day. I think he's a huge part of what you guys do. And he's a guy who at 18 years old is established, or 19 now,
yeah,
is establishing himself as a center in the NHL. I mean, that is tough to give up.
He is really tough. Yeah, to give up. I mean, he's consistently the top minute eater for among forwards. He goes up against a lot of the top competition. And yeah, as an 18, 19-year-old, to do that plus get the offense, I mean, you're checking off both columns there. Mike, let me ask you this. What if he's playing on in a different scenario on a different team? Because Calgary needs him to play. They need him for 18, 19, 20 minutes a night. If he is in Chicago or St. Louis.
If he's in Chicago, he's probably still in junior.
Yeah, right?
Like, he's not even there.
But if he's with a team that has more depth, I guess, but let's say more skill, does he have more or fewer points? I don't know that he actually would have more.
No, I think he'd probably have fewer because he'd have zero because he wouldn't be there, yeah, or he wouldn't get the opportunities. Like this was one of the reasons, for example, that Calgary re-signed Matt Stajan, is because you sit there and you say, we can't serve Sean Monahan up to the best every game. Like, when you're 18, 19 years old, it shouldn't be Kopitar one night and Getzlaff the next night and Thornton the third night and the Sedins the fourth night. You know, we don't want that. The guy's going to get his lunch handed to him. Some, you know, we can give him a little bit of that, but other times, you know, we can send staging at them and stuff like that. And look how it's turned out. Like, you're not shielding him from many matchups anymore. And all of a sudden, he's a member of your leadership group. They put him in the leadership group this year. And you just keep throwing responsibility at the guy. And you're almost doing it, Dean, to kind of say, let's see if he can't handle anything. And you learn that he goes through all the adjustments a 19-year-old in the second year does. But eventually, you know, maybe he missteps once or twice, but he figures it out pretty quickly. I mean, you sit there and you say, yeah, you know, McKinnon's going to get you some more points, but the whole package that we're getting here, why would we consider getting rid of that? I don't think you would.
How do you handicap this race in the Pacific? Because I think there are two races in the West. You've got that huge Central Division that probably take both wild cards, and then you've got,
yeah,
Vancouver, Calgary, LA, San Jose, all separated by 4 points.
I just can't vote against LA. Like, you know, is anybody there going to vote against the Kings? You know, even, I mean, they almost blew the game last night, but they still won it. They've kind of sleptwalked through the season. But you look at their roster and you look at who they are, and they got 3 games with Vancouver, and they give the Canucks all sorts of trouble. I don't like betting against them. You know, as for the rest of it, San Jose is really interesting to me. They got no help at the deadline almost. Like, I like Ben Smith as a player, but and I think he's better than what they had in that third and fourth line. But when you look at what they subtracted and you look what they got less than they gave up. And you know, they were really lurching towards the finish line to begin with. You know, I think it's funny. Like, we're sitting there and we're looking at the Flames and we're saying, well, Giordano's out. This is all going to be over. And look at how you've played since that happened. You know, Philly, like, you were holding on for dear life, but you still found a way to win the game. And last night was a really entertaining game against a team that had to have a win, and you guys beat them, too, in the shootout. Like, you know, the thing about the Flames is, I don't know if this can keep going, but the whole year, Calgary has found a way to win when you just thought they were going to lose. And at some point, it's your identity, it's who you are, and they're going to have to keep doing it, but they show a really amazing ability to do it. Like, the last time I was on with you guys, and we talked about Giordano's injury being somebody else's opportunity, how about Chris Russell last night?
Yeah.
Like, to me, that is everything that you are asking your guys to be. You know, we just lost our MVP, a guy who was going to have a Hart Trophy chance, a Norris Trophy chance this year, and Chris Russell goes out there and blocks more shots in the game than we can prove, at least for the last 20 years. Like, that's your identity this year. And, you know, I think that the San Jose Sharks this season are less than the sum of their parts. The Kings, I mean, they're still the Kings, and you can't disrespect them, but to this point, they've been less than the sum of their parts. Vancouver, I think you could at least argue, has been better than some people thought they were going to be, but there's nobody chasing for the playoffs in those last couple of spots in the Pacific, in the Western Conference, that has been more than the sum of their parts than Calgary has. And I don't know if it's going to run out, but at least in the interim, after Giordano's injury, they sure don't make it look like it's going to run out.
Tomorrow, big day for you. What do you got on tap for Hockey Night in Canada?
Well, I believe Dan Bylsma is in the studio going to be with us on Saturday night, so that'll be interesting to watch. I mean, we're going to have an ornery St. Louis team against Toronto. Like, they really coughed up a hairball last night, so they're going to be in a bad mood. And then our late games, we're going to have Montreal, Arizona, and we're going to have the rematch of Vancouver, San Jose. San Jose beat Vancouver earlier this week, so I mean, they're all big games now, so we'll see how it kind of works out.
Be well. Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great weekend, gentlemen.
Thanks, Elliot.
Thank you.